Amen. Good morning. Good to see you. Can I bend this thing out of the way? I'm short. That thing's right in my face. I got to get that thing out of here. It's good. It'll work right there. It'll work right there. Amen. I got to get this jacket off that jacket. It's just a showpiece, and I can't live with it either. So we got to get it out of the way too. It's good to be here. And I told Dylan. Dylan asked me what I was going to preach. I said, "Well, I got two messages. I'm going to preach part of one and then the rest of the other." And I said, "They don't have time for me to brew them both." So I want to say this. This morning I miss being home at my church, or God's church, the one I worship at. But I want to say this, and I mean this with all sincerity of heart. As I travel some, and as this young man travels every Sunday, I think he told me on the way up here he's booked through April. Not every church does the Spirit of God reside in. And what you experience here in this church is very fragile. May you be delicate with it. And may you understand the preciousness and the power of the presence of an Almighty God. It's everything. It's everything. And so when I come to this church, and when I walk in the door and I feel His presence, even though I'm not at home, I'm at home. Amen. And so I want to say it's an honor and a privilege to worship with you this morning. I want to preach to you a different message this morning, and I'm not going to. It's not a message necessarily of hope all is well. It's not a message of exhorting. It's not a message. It's a message that's a hard message. It's a message, a straight at you message, and I say this to you that I love you, and I want to preach. If I only had one message to preach to you today, if I knew this would be my last time here, and I never know what tomorrow is, and even the Word of God tells us not to bank upon tomorrow, God forbid, but I may not ever make it home today, and if that be the case, then God knows best, and I'm good with that, amen? But I want to share with my young preachers at church, and I tell them repetitiously that we are to preach as if it's going to be our last one, for one day it will be. One day it will be. And we never know when that moment might be. We never know when that opportunity, when that moment that death comes knocking at our door. We never know. None of us know that moment, my dear friend, when the trump may sound. And it may sound before my next word come out of my mouth. And when that trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive, that are His, will follow thereafter. And so we never know those moments. And so I think about D.L. Moody and D.L. Moody there that night in Chicago, as he's preaching at that great church, and he is preaching, and he did something that he never ever done before. He told those people there to go home and to consider and to think about what he had preached that night, and he shared that with that group and everything, and he left that night without giving an invitation. That night is the night that Chicago burned. And that night haunted D.L. Moody his whole life. For he said, "I will never get that group of people back again." I say to you, my dear friend, that I love you, and I also realize I will never have the opportunity to speak to this group ever again. For then I must preach whosoever. I must preach the cross. I must preach those things that are hard, so that we might consider those things, so that we might understand those things, and that life is but just a vapor. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn on Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read one verse. Philippians chapter 1, give you just a minute to turn there. I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of God's word, if you could. Philippians chapter 1, verse. Chapter 1, verse 6. And being confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work. Now let me stop right there and I want to say this. He's speaking of the work of salvation, that work of justification, that moment, my dear friend, when a person is born again. And being confident of this very thing, that he hath began a good work in you, will perform it. If you've got a New King James Version, it says we'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, today, Lord, for already the words that have been spoken, Lord, the songs, Lord, that have been sung. God, we thank you, Lord, for this man coming, Lord, and being obedient and following you in believer's baptism. And Lord, his testimony, Lord, about how you changed his life. And God, Lord, how he don't do things, Lord, like he used to. He don't think about things like he used to. God, evidence, Lord, evidence of repentance, Lord. Your word even says that there ought to be fruits of our repentance. And God, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would help me. God, I want to speak only, Lord, what you would have me to speak. Lord, today I realize, Lord, that I'm nothing. And Lord, that you're everything. And God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would do what only you can do. And that you would teach us, Lord, your word. And I pray to God you'd bring forth every verse, Lord, that you want to be spoken. Every thought, God, Lord, would come, Lord, from you. God, I ask you, Lord, may you put myself far, far, far away from this place this morning. And God, Lord, may you preach, Lord, to your people, Lord, through these lips of clay. Father, I need you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I call on you, Lord, this morning to help me. Lord, forgive me, Lord, of my sins and my shortcomings. Lord, may I and you be one, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want to, first of all, I want to bring to mind a couple of things. First of all, let me say this as I ponder the Billy message, the statements of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham said that 3 out of 5 church members are lost and dying and on their way to hell. Now I realize as he ponders and he throws out that thought, I can see the look on some of your faces. He's looking at a worldview. He's looking at all denominations because that's who he sees. But my dear friend, I hope that that hits home a little bit to you today. I also want to bring your attention to the story of the 10 virgins found in Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13. For time's sake, let me paraphrase that story for you just a little bit, and about the master and how that he come, and the bridegroom, and he chose for him a bridesmaid, and how that he went away, and he said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for us to live. I'm going to prepare a place which is an Eastern, if you will, custom. And see, some of you women think, well, you know, I'm supposed to go find me a man. Well, that's not Eastern customs. And by the way, I want to say this in case you're single here today and you're worried about relationships and so on and so forth, you need to go back to the book of Genesis and you'll find out, my dear friend, that God took Eve by the hand and he brought her to Adam. So I want to say this, quit looking. Just be patient. God, at the right time, will take your mate, to you young people listening, by the hand, that lady, and he'll bring them to the Eve. That's Bible. Just be patient. Let God do his work. Quit trying to force fit things. Things of God don't need a hammer. Amen. They don't need a hammer.
But as I think, though, about that story of the 10 virgins, and I think about there at the coming of the groom, and the trump was sound, the Bible says, and everybody was in panic. And you know the story about how the five virgins had oil in their lamps, and the Bible says that they trimmed their lamps, if you will, and there was a flame there. It was the real deal. But yet, though, there were five other virgins, and they had the same lamp, my dear friend. But yet, though they had no fire and they had no oil, they looked the same as the other ones. They hung out with the same. My dear friend, there they were in the same vicinity. But yet, though, if you want to look at the average, it was 50-50. Five had not oil, and five did have oil. Five had a flame burning in their hearts, but yet five did not. Can I say that Billy Graham may not be too far off? So I come to you this morning and I ask you, who are you? Who are you? For if he has begun a good work in you, he is doing that work. There are no stagnant children of God. There are no plateaus in the walk of Christ. My dear friend, either you are for him or against him. That's what the Word of God says. Let's look at some scripture here. Paul even notices this, and he goes to 2 Corinthians, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn with me there. And we're gonna have a little test here in a little minute. And I want us to put our salvation, our moment in our life. And by the way, I want to say this. If you're here this morning, you say, "Well, I don't have a story. I don't have a testimony." Well, I can assure you, my dear friend, that you know not God. Then you are not saved. For every person who is born again has a story. You have a time. You have a moment, my dear friend, where the Spirit of God convicts you. And he draws you to himself, just as it said in John chapter 6 verse 44, "For no man cometh unto the Father unless he be drawn." Right. Had a young lady, we was doing a big event there in Graves County several years ago, and I called Sports Ride for Christ. We had Brad Bennett, and he came and does all his motorcycle tricks and all of his everything else and his bicycle tricks. I mean, it's amazing. And we had Bill Bates, former Buffalo Bills player and stuff, had him come give his testimony. Had one group, a strong group, everything else. They was bending all kinds of stuff, and everybody was sharing their testimony, sharing the gospel. And there at the end and everything, at the end of Bill, not Bill Bates, but Brad Bennett shared his testimony, and I've seen 287 people come and give their heart and life to Christ. And one of the most awesome things I've ever seen in my life. But I remember, though, and there was three of us that was kind of heading that up, and I was over counseling, and I had two of my other best friends. One of them was kind of oversighting the whole thing, and the other man was kind of oversighting the logistics, getting power, getting toilets, getting this, getting that, you know, making everything happen, if you will. And so I remember every time that we would gather together, I would speak about the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I would speak about the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I would talk to them about how important it is for God to do his work, because I do not have the capability to save anyone. This man here does not have the capability to save anyone. This man here has not the capability to save anyone. I have not the capability to draw anyone. I only have the privilege to preach the Word of God and let God do his business and his Holy Spirit do his business, and that is to draw and to convict and to save. Not my business. Not my business. A few months after, year after, seen this young lady. She was one of our counselors. I've even got pictures of her, listen to me. I've even got pictures of her leading people to the Lord. She said, "Brother Ike, we got to talk." I said, "Okay. What are we talking about?" And she said, "You used to infuriate me when you would speak of the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It infuriated me She said, I've been to church my whole life. She got a beautiful voice. She said, I've sang in groups. I've taught Sunday school. Black, I've led people to the Lord. But I have never known the drawing of the Holy Spirit until last week. Listen to me now. She said, I was sitting in church. Yeah, we're going back here. Yeah, I was going to sit here. You seen that, didn't you? She said, I was sitting in church. She said, invitation came. And she said, the Spirit of God was just so upon us. And she said, we're singing and we're singing out. And she said, a flow of tears on down my face. And I could not get away. And I thought, man, what is going on? And my heart felt so heavy, I couldn't get away from it. And all I could think about was Jesus died upon the cross. All I could think about was my sin. And I said, God, is there somebody I'm supposed to go talk to? Is there somebody I'm supposed to go pray with? God, is there somebody? Who is it? Just let me know. I'll go talk to them. Who is it? Who is it? And then I said, is it me? Is it me, Lord? Is it me? And she said, I raised up my hand and out loud I said, it is me. And she said, I went down to the front of the altar and I got down on my knees and I'm telling you, I was gloriously saved. I tell you, she said, I know now about the drawing of the Holy Spirit. How about you? You know about the drawing of the Holy Spirit? We need to be real careful. I'm going to be honest with you. When a child comes to me wanting to talk to me about salvation, I shove them away only to watch to see how they respond. Because I know if the Holy Spirit is genuinely convicting them, they immediately come back. Immediately come back. Because inside them is a panic. Inside them, they will not rest until those things are answered and their heart is put at peace. And so, I give them a stiff arm at first. I watch to see how they respond to that. He said, Brother Ike, that's crazy. No, I'm going to tell you what's crazy. I'm crazy. I'm tired of seeing church people who think that they're saved because somebody either told them that they were saved or had them to recite some little old rinky-dink mouse prayer and proclaim to them, well, you prayed a prayer, so you're saved. Can I say this? That confuses people. That confuses people. Because they begin to start putting faith in a prayer instead of who they're praying to. I helped do a judgment house a few years ago. I'm going somewhere. I'm not going to come over here and just tell stories. I tell stories at game suppers. I'm going to preach here in just a second. I was helping with a judgment house. Everybody, y'all know what a judgment house is? Y'all got judgment house ready? I was helping with a judgment house. They asked me if I would be one of the preachers there at the last gives a closing, gives that moment of invitation. I have a good time, amen. Have a great time. And stuff. And so I'm in there and I'm sharing the gospel. I mean, they put a time frame on me. I've got 12 minutes. 12 minutes. I mean, I've got down to a science. I mean, I'd throw it in 12 minutes. I'd throw it. So I'm in there, and boy, I'm clicking it off, and I'm clicking it off, and I can watch people. You know, they just got through seeing that life and death situation. They just got through seeing the heaven and hell scene. They just got through seeing all, and so all those things are real to them. And you can tell when they walk in the door who God is dealing with already before they ever even sit down. And when they sit down, then you can watch God begin to stir in their hearts. You can see it in their faces. And I don't do nothing. I just preach the gospel. Amen. I just preach the gospel. And then I ask them if you would like to talk with someone, if you would like to speak with someone about being saved. If you would, just slip up your hand, and the minute that they slip up their hand, there's another person there in the room, and they come over there, they tap them on the shoulder, and they take them to the counseling room. There's this young lady, she's sitting right dead on the front row. Right dead on the front row. She's about college age. She's weeping. I'm thinking she's going to raise her hand. She don't raise her hand. She gets up, she walks out. Yes, I'd love to chase after her, but I'm not going to chase after her. She walks out of the room, and I mean, I walk to the door of the room. I walk up there to the door, and she nearly runs over me, coming right back in. And she says, I need to talk to somebody. Me and another preacher, we were swapping out. I just got through speaking. I said, well, I'm available, but I don't talk to women by myself, so you're going to have to get a friend. She said, my aunt's standing right here. I said, great, let's talk. We go back into another room, and there we shut the door. I said, honey, I said, tell me what's going on in your life. What made you come back? Listen to me. She said, I thought about my salvation, and there is a question mark about my salvation instead of an explanation point. Can I say this, my dear friend? God never intended for you to doubt your salvation. Your salvation should be an explanation point and not a question mark. If you're here this morning and you're doubting your salvation, you're struggling with your salvation, can I tell you, my dear friend, you can get that settled today. You can get that settled. My dear friend, you can leave here today with your salvation being an explanation point instead of a question mark. That can happen to you today. My dear friend, here in a moment, when we give an invitation on him, don't you hesitate. You walk on down here. Myself, the pastor, or one of these great men and women in the church here, will take the word of God and show you how you can know according to 1 John chapter 5. I said, talk to me. What's going on, honey? Listen to what she said. She said, I was a young kid. And she said, me and some of my friends went forward. Careful. Me and some of my friends went forward. And they wanted to be saved, and I thought, you know, I need to be saved too. She said, I went down front, and she said, the preacher talked to me, and I said, what did he tell you? She said, I really don't even remember. But he told me to pray this prayer, and I'd be saved, and I prayed this prayer, and so I said, well, I guess I'm saved. He said so, and I trusted him. I said, honey, a prayer ain't never saved nobody. Faith. Faith. Now, I want to say this. That faith becomes not only, it comes in action. You become to trust upon. It's also, though, you verbally, though, express that faith in a prayer. But the prayer is not what saves you. It is the one in which you're praying to. For he is the author and the finisher of our salvation. And there, I said, honey, let me ask you this today. Did you make him, here's the key, did you make him Lord that day? As I said last night, you cannot receive what he has until you first accept who he is. And he is Lord. That's who he is. Tears begin to flood out of her eyes. I said, honey, let me ask you this. Would you like to make him Lord of your life today? And if you'll make him Lord of your life, he'll also be your Savior. But you must take him as your Lord. And out loud, unashamedly, I've never heard anyone pray like that in my life. She got up and I said, honey, salvation is not a feeling, but I've never known anybody who didn't get saved who didn't have some feelings. I said, how do you feel? She said, I feel free and I feel clean. And here she lived her whole life thinking that she was saved because she repeated some prayer and because some man deemed her as being saved. And she knew not about the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Not until that day. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever experienced the drawing of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that we're to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians says that we're examining ourselves. Let's look at that verse. 2 Corinthians and verse 13, chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that our own self says how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates or disqualified. He says you need to test yourself. Ask yourself. Look at the fruits of your repentance, as it says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 through 8. Turn with me over there. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what it says here. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. And it said, in those days, John the Baptist preaching the wilderness. Here's John preaching. And he's saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, for this is he that spoke of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, making straight the pathway. And then came John and his remnant of camel hair and linen girdle about his loin, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Boy, wasn't he a good looking dude. And then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. There we go. We're repenting. We're confessing our sin. But when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who would warn you to flee from the wrath to come? It says, bring forth therefore fruit meant for repentance. He said, listen, you act like you're just a bunch of religious people. He said, you're Pharisees and Sadducees. Yes, you can quote the first five books of the Bible, and you've never missed a church service probably in your life. You can probably quote the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. Yes, you're very knowledgeable about who God is, but you don't know him because you have no fruits of your repentance. My dear friend, the next question I want to ask you is this, is when ye drawed you, did you repent? Now let me stop right here and I want to say this. There's a difference between confession and repentance. Let me break this down for you. I realize we got 10 minutes to go. We're probably not going to make it. I feel at home here, so I'm going to tell you just like I do my own church, all right? If you need to leave, feel free to get up and leave anytime. We'll watch you all the way out the door. All the way, I promise. We'll watch you. Amen? Confession. Confession is agreeing with God. That's what confession is. For instance, let's just say that I told Dylan a lie yesterday. I didn't tell him no lie, but let's just say I did. Let's say I told Dylan a lie yesterday, and the minute that I told that lie, within the very few seconds, probably almost instantaneously, the Holy Spirit's going to stab me right in the heart. Yep. And he's going to say, you lied to him. That's a lie. Now I have a choice at that moment. First of all, you know what God wants to hear? He wants me to hear is, yes, I did lie. How many of you got kids and you catch your kid in the act of doing something wrong and you say, what are you doing? And you already done seen it go down. Has he ever asked you that? Yeah. And you know. What is he looking for? He already knows the answer. He already knows. Can I say this? You've never done anything, nor will you ever do anything that God doesn't already know about. Right. He already knows. But He wants you to say to him what it is that you have done. He wants a confession, if you will. That's really why what he's saying is that we are agreeing with him. God, you are correct. That's really why, my dear friend, when a person gets saved, repentance is a necessity for salvation. A necessity. You confess it. And then you repent of it. Now let me explain that repentance to you. Repentance is an action word. That means I'm heading in this direction. I confess. I repent. I turn and I forsake those things, and I am now going in a total different direction. He said, have you got scripture to back that up? I sure do. Matthew and chapter 7. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to examine yourself. I want you to ask yourself, am I truly a child of God? Has he began this work in me? And if so, he is performing it. He is doing it. He is sanctifying you. You are ever more changing. Can I say that to you? Let me explain something to you. I'm going to scare you just for a minute. Pastor, hold your seat just for a second. I'll give you a little comment. Straight out of Adrian Rogers' mouth, all right? Straight out of Adrian Rogers' mouth. I'm going to help you just a minute. Everybody look at me. I shared my testimony last night in a Wild Game Supper. I'm going to break down the mechanics for you, okay? I'm going to shove the lingo out of the way. I'm going to break down the biblical mechanics. I told you about the day that I was justified. I told you about the day that I was justified. I am now being sanctified. That means I'm being made more and more and more and more like Jesus. You ought to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday, and more like him tomorrow than you are today. It is a continuous growing thing. These people that say I got saved and you never see them again, my dear friend, they did not get the real deal. Justification. Sanctification. And one day when that trump sounds and I go to be in heaven with him, then I will get my glorified body and I will be glorified. And can I say this? Then my salvation will be complete. Are you with me? Some of y'all look at me like a calf at a new gate. Justification, just as if I never sinned. For I am just like what he said this morning, that I have been clothed in the righteousness of God. That happened to me at the age of 7. At Wingo Baptist Church, in the back part of my dad's Sunday school class, I can take you within a hula hoop size area of where that took place. And since that day, my dear friend, he has been ongoing working in me. For he who began a good work in you will perform it. Will perform it. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Brother Ike, I've been saved for 50 years and I ain't never went anywhere, I ain't never grown, I ain't never done this, my dear friend, you need to examine yourself. Because something there is not biblical. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 13. We're halfway done. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereof. Because straight, if you have a New King James Version, it says narrow. All right? I'm going to use that here in just a second. Keep that in mind. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few, can I say few, there be that find it. Can I say this? You listen to me. It doesn't say that narrow is the gate and broad is the path. It says that narrow is the gate and narrow is the way. So many times in today's Christian, we want to talk about being saved. Oh, Brother Ike, I got saved when I was 12. I got saved at such and such revival. I got saved here. I got saved at the deathbed of my granddaddy. I got saved here at this funeral. I got saved over here. My dear friend, I want to ask you a question. But yet, though your living is so broad and so worldly, there is no fruits of your repentance. My dear friend, according to the Word of God, you know nothing about the narrow gate. You're still in the broad gate, walking down the broad path, risks the rest of the world. Because he who began a good work in you is completing it until the day of redemption. So where are you? Where are you this morning? Has there been that time in your life where God's Spirit drew you? Has there been that time in your life where you fell upon your knees, tears on down your face, and you confessed and repented? Jesus preaches in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Let me give you a little more evidence. Let me give you a little more evidence. Turn me over to 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to close up right here. 1 John. Let me help you understand a little bit about John. 1 John. I'm going to speak to a little bit older crowd. Some of you young people in here, I'm going to help you a little bit, especially you men. Help you men. 1 John is a P.S. Some of y'all automatically know what I'm talking about when I say P.S. What do you mean by that? All right. How many of y'all ever wrote a love letter? Anybody in here like that? Come on now. Y'all pitiful. Y'all ain't no. Come on now. Get your hands up. Some of y'all wrote love letters. All right. And remember, you wrote all the stuff, you know, and then at the end you put P.S. And P.S. is a summary of the good stuff, but it's a condensed. It's the good stuff. First, second, third John are a P.S. to the book of John, all right? 90 times in the book of John, in some form or another, he throws out the word believe or trust or a word that means that same, all right? And so you can automatically assume here in 1 John, you're going to get that same thing. But here in 1 John, though, he is giving us a test. He is giving us a test to see whether or not we are truly born again or not. So I'm just going to hit on two of those things. There's four, but I'm going to hit on two of them. And then we're going to give an invitation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And therefore, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Time out. You said, Brother Ike, I know what you're thinking already. I got it. I'm going to go ahead and speak the words in your mouth. Brother Ike, none of us are perfect. We can't follow the commandments to a T. Well, you need to do a word study on that word, keep, and then it'll all make sense to you. It'll all make sense to you. That word keep was a sailor's term. Back in the old days, before GPS, before Lowrance and Garmin, them old men, I don't know, that contraption that they had, y'all seen it, got the scope on it, got some kind of bread. I don't know what. Yeah, whatever they said. So they got this thing up. I don't know. Looked like an anchor to me. And tie a string onto it, pitch it over the side. Anyway, so they looking over here, and they would focus, they would look at the stars. And that's how they navigated. And the term was we will keep to the stars. Now that means that we may not make a straight, perfectly line, but we are heading in that direction. That's what keeping the commandments are. It doesn't mean, my dear friend, that you're going to execute those commandments to a T. What that means is that I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to say, God, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins yesterday. God, keep me from sinning today. God, I want to do what is pleasing to you. That's my agenda. You don't know this pastor's heart. You'll find in the book of Acts when he speaks of David. And he said, I found a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. I want to do all
of his will for our earth. I want him to be in heaven and say, I got an old boy down there. He ain't real smart. He ain't much. But I can throw any task at him and he'll attempt it in the name of Jehovah God. He's willing to do all of my will. If you're a born again child of God, you'll have a heart that you want to keep his commandments. And some of y'all, I'm just going to throw it out. I don't know y'all. Y'all get mad. Whatever. I can't say I don't care. I do care. But I realize this is the only time. Back to my first statement. Life's too short. And I don't believe walking around nothing. I want people to tell me the truth, and I came here to tell you the truth. You listen to me. Listen to me. There's some of you. Some of you in this room today. You couldn't give three rat's ends about what the things of God's are. Or rather not, you won't do it. You wake up in the morning, you do your own thing. And you kind of like old Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And my dear friend, that is total rebellion against God. Total rebellion. And if that's your mindset and if that's your spirit, you know not my Lord. But if you are a child of God, you'll have a burning desire in your heart to do his will. I didn't say you're always going to do it. I fall short just like you do. But I get up, I confess, I repent, I dust myself off. I grab a hold of both hands of the plow. Dear God, duct tape my hands on there where I ain't looking back. I ain't looking over my shoulder. I ain't worried about where I've been or what I've had to go through. It's on to the next row I'm going, and I'm going to keep plowing and keep plowing and keep plowing and keep plowing until my master comes along and he taps me on the shoulder and says, you're done. Come on home to me. Come on home to me. That's where I'm going to be. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside me. You ought to be the same way. Keep to his commandments. The next thing, and then I'm done. He said, Brother Guy, you got me all jacked up this morning. Great. I hope you and God settle things and you get things right. Verse 14, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. And it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I am writing unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. My address, my new address. Wingo, Kentucky. 2004 Wingo Road. It's a two-story house there, an older home. There's 5 acres there. 2 dogs. 2 horses and a donkey. My daughter barrel races, so we stay busy. That's not my home. That's my temporary occupancy. For I'm just a pilgrim passing through.
So in that, my dear friend, I don't need to get caught up in the things of this world. I'm going to say this. Please hear my heart. I've hunted all my life. There were times in my life that hunting was my God. There were times in my life where I just sooned it, kill a duck as I had eat. There were times that I abandoned my Lord and my family in the pursuit of something that didn't matter. You men and women, you be careful of that. God has some ways of redirecting you. Some of those ways aren't real pleasant. In 2017 was the worst year of my life. My wife left me in 2017. I moved to have a home that I'd lived in for 20 years. I started all over again. Today I have new priorities. And if it isn't attached to a soul and a heartbeat, it doesn't mean much to me anymore. I sat 4 times in a deer stand and I went duck hunting 1 time this year. But I've seen God do more in my life this year than I ever have in my whole life. Because I'm learning what this verse means. And I quit loving the world. My priorities changed from temporal things to eternal things. What I'm doing today is eternal things. This is what matters. And I'd much rather be here than any duck blind in Stuttgart or any moose hunt in Alaska. Why is that, Brother Ike? Because the Spirit of God lives inside me. Who are you? Who are you? You still talking about the narrow gate but living in a broad path? Ain't so, according to that. Ain't so. Narrow gate, narrow path. Broad gate, broad path. It's just that simple. Examine yourself and see if you are the real deal. Do you know about the drawing of the Holy Spirit? Do you know what real repentance is? Does your life bear fruits of that repentance? Do you keep His commandments? And do you love not the world or the things of it? Examine yourself and see who you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we stand. So, Brother Ike, I'm struggling with my salvation. I'm struggling. I'm struggling, brother. I've thought about my salvation. I've thought about that day that I thought that I got saved. And I'm not so sure, my dear friend, if that's you today, don't even wait for the song to even start. Just go ahead and head this way. Let one of these dear men, dear ladies, dear saints of God take the word of God and begin to share with you. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Brock, I've never done any of that. I've never been drawn, but God is speaking to me today. He spoke to me last night. He's speaking to me today, and I need to do something. My dear friend, the first thing you need to do is you need to come down forward and let one of these saints of God take the word of God and share with you what the book says. Maybe you're here today. And you say, Brother, like I have. I know that I'm saved. I know that I know that the Spirit of God lives inside me. Man, I've been loving too much of the world. And I want to get back on track with Him. Maybe that's you. Whatever God is telling you, just do it. Just do it. And it'll be just right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of it, God. God, I have no doubt, Lord, that you're speaking, Lord, to someone, somebody, Lord, in this room. God, I pray, Lord, may they not worry about what time it is. May they not worry about where they need to go. But God, Lord, I pray, Lord, may they only think about right now, I need to do business with a holy God. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you may not let them rest, may not leave them alone. God, I pray, Lord, may they come to this altar. God, Lord, may they take somebody by the hand. God, would you do that? Lord, I'm done. Lord, I've spoken all that's on my heart. My heart's empty. God, it's you. Only you, Lord, that can save. Lord, may you do that today. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.